Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
If you're not drinking coffee, you might be drinking tea, and it's a great seasonal drink when poured over ice. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University's School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. And we've been talking about some of our favorite foods, which are grown, coffee, tea, and chocolate. Today we're talking about tea. Hey, Murph, thanks for stopping by.
Nice to see you.
So if you're looking for a jolt, coffee might be the way to go.
It appears as though that might be a good solution if you're caffeine-driven. Some people would argue that the flavor range or the palate of coffee is greater than tea, but I don't know how you could say that because there are so many different kinds of tea.
And, you know, on some of these survival shows, I see them make tea out of anything, like spruce needles.
Right.
So tea, you could define fairly loosely, but we're talking about the plant that grows the leaves that we commonly think of as tea.
That's right. Camellia sinensis with an S for the species there. That's the plant that is referred to as tea. But tea could also be like you described, Mike. You could make tea out of gravel, really. Stone soup is also tea, right? But the Camellia sinensis is grown worldwide. You can grow it in lots of different places, and you might get recropping in places where it's more temperate near the equator and places like that where you might get more than one crop.
Can't grow it here?
You could grow it here. You could. You could grow it indoors in a greenhouse, or you could have a short season crop. And if we get to talking about some of the other teas, you could see where that comes into place and why there are so many kinds of tea.
Well, let's talk about the different kinds of tea. And let's start with what's in the Lipton tea bag. What is that?
Lipton tea is probably a black tea. And black tea is also synonymous with Earl Grey, the English tea that our neighbors across the pond drink. And but then you have all different kinds of tea. And just like coffee and chocolate, which we're talking about currently, they're oftentimes combined with other crops that are regional to where the tea, coffee, or cacao is grown.
So what's green tea?
Green tea is an unfermented type of tea. It's also closely related to yellow tea, which is a fermented version of green tea. And green teas are almost always mixed with something else, like lemon or mint, for example.
And popular teas in China are different than the black teas that we drink here in this country?
Well, that's an interesting thing, too. So you have oolong tea, which is specific to southern China and Chinese expatriates in Southeast Asia. This tea originated in that area specifically, and that's what makes it oolong tea. Kind of like a Vandalia onion has to be from Vandalia, Georgia. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you have a preference in the teas that you like to drink?
I'm kind of the spoiled kind, so I think I like chai tea the best because I like the milk base, and I like a lot of cream in my coffee because it kind of cuts the acid a little bit. So to me, chai tea tastes a little bit like hot chocolate milk, but that would be my favorite of all the teas.
So what's the process here? They grow the plant, they dry the leaves. Is it any more than that?
There are teas that are grown and then the buds are picked very early. So that's kind of like our yellow tea and our white tea. White tea is when they pick the very first buds that emerge, and then that's pretty much done until the next set of buds come.
So the leaves haven't actually unfolded yet.
That's right. That's right. And that's a more expensive tea. You know, you can see this on the shelf in the grocery store. And you can notice that it looks different in the bag. It's in little balls or clumps compared to just kind of like a hash that's all combined together of similar parts, like most, like black tea and green tea. Green tea looks green in the bag. Black tea looks black in the bag.
Japan?
Japan has a version of green tea that is powdered that is very popular there. And I think that's interesting because there are lots of industrious people in the world, but the Japanese have a... there's a stereotype of their industriousness, and I think that that's interesting that they like to take their tea with them. It doesn't mean you have the water with you, but you can have the powdered packet in your briefcase or in your pocket.
And all of this is derivative of Camellia sinensis?
Camellia sinensis is the origin sinensis for all these major teas. You've got your Ceylon tea, which is another tea that is named for just where it's grown. That's in the island nation of Sri Lanka. It's not much different than the other teas other than where it's grown. And I think that's a good point to think about, too, is black tea is not always the same. It can have variances because of how it's processed, the culture and the manner in which it's grown, and its geography. So you can have high elevation, low elevation, river basin tea. They all have little nuances, just like apples do.
But generally, it's grown along the equator, and it's a year-long plant. It's a plant that can grow year-round.
Yeah, so in temperate areas, it would be something that you could have succession crops. But here in the States, in the Americas, you'd have the short season.
Is there commercial tea production in the United States?
I think it's limited, but there is some.
And have you ever tried to grow it yourself?
I have not.
So what do these plants look like?
They're a grassy-looking plant.
About how tall?
Less than knee-high.
Okay.
So if it's that white tea that we talked about, as soon as that plant emerges from the ground and starts to produce foliar buds, the little knots they look like along the stem, that's going to be a very short plant, which means you're going to have to kneel, bend, or stoop to get it. That would not be the case in the West. If you were growing tea, they would probably let it grow up high enough to have it mechanically cut from the ground.
Is this labor intensive, or is it more mechanical in terms of how it's grown, planted, and harvested?
I just think it's similar to the whole theme of warm weather drinks, if you will, that we're talking about. It's easier to grow in places where there's a tropical climate, where you don't have a tropical climate. The tea is going to grow like an annual, basically. It's going to like the 3, 4, 5 months of decent growing weather that you have here in the Midwest for something that's not hardy. But otherwise, it's grown year-round.
So when I think of brewing tea, and I don't drink a lot of it, I usually go for coffee, I think of the tea bag. But that's not the only way you could actually brew tea, right?
That's right.
So there's these little metal containers you can use. You can just throw it in rough into the water?
That's right. There's the little tea bobs, the little like a bobber-looking thing that you fill with rough-cut tea and then throw it in there. But if you were in Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan, it might be thrown in a pot with boiling water. And then the pot has a catch or a sieve in it so that when you pour the water out, it's the tea and all the vegetative parts are left inside. And another thing, Mike, that I find interesting about tea is the way it is infused. It's similar to the infusion process of coffee, which we've already talked about, and cacao, which we're going to discuss very soon. The mint, the lemon, coconut, all the various things that grow where the tea is growing are oftentimes farmed by the tea farmer or near where the tea is grown.
I was surprised to find that the mulberry plant actually has some value in this world, because I just think of it as an invasive. I mean, it's native, right? But the birds scatter those seeds everywhere. I pull up mulberry trees year-round in my yard.
I know.
But they have value when it comes to tea.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Mike, because when I first noticed that mulberry black tea is one of the world's popular teas, I thought, well, there'd be maybe some staining of the teeth in there, or you'd have to be careful with it because that mulberry juice that comes out of the mulberries leaves a wicked stain. But they're not using the berries for the mulberry black tea. They're using the leaves of the mulberry. So that might have a backstory that I am not 100% clear on, but a lot of times the plots that are used to dry the tea are often used to dry the other items that are infused with the tea.
If you have any questions about coffee or any growing thing, you can submit them at wglt.org/grow. Next week, we'll talk about chocolate or cacao. Are you a dark chocolate or milk chocolate lover?
Gosh, I'm a slave to both, but I can see the medicinal value of dark chocolate.
That's Patrick Murphy. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.